assume that the viewer comes to the documentary with a basic body of knowledge about homeschooling.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name's Peter Kawaki, and you asked if I was a homeschooler. I definitely am a homeschooler. I didn't go to school until college. I also used to be a columnist for Home Education magazine, and I currently write for Life Learning magazine and Home Educators Family Times. And I've also worked for the Clonmora School, which is a school that helps homeschoolers with any curriculum needs they have and support needs and gives them a diploma. So I've been in the homeschooling community for pretty much most of my life. I'm also, incidentally, married to a lifelong homeschooler who I met in the making of the documentary, in the making of Grown Without Schooling.
Should we talk a bit about what is the movie about?
Grown Without Schooling is a movie about grown homeschoolers and the lasting influence that home education has had on their lives. We basically followed 10 grown homeschoolers who range in age from 19 to 31, and follow them around in their jobs and at home, and we also they discuss amongst themselves what it has meant to be a homeschooler, what it was like growing up homeschooling, what it's like now being in the job market, in the job world, how is college, and also if homeschooling has left a mark on their personalities. So they talk about that, and we also get to see how they're living day to day. So in some regards, it's sort of like the ultimate discussion panel. If you've ever been to a homeschooling conference, they often have grown homeschooler panels, and this is sort of, in some regards, the ultimate grown homeschooler panel.
Well, why did you make a movie on grown homeschoolers?
There's a lot of discussion about home education, and there has been for many decades now. And there's a lot of great books out there on how to homeschool and how to prepare to send your kids away to college. And there's all sorts of good books on homeschooling. However, I felt that part of the discussion, there weren't books for the entire discussion. One of the problems that I think homeschooling community has had over the years is when homeschooling first started, picking up and really growing to get beyond the margins. There was a lot of people who said, "Oh, homeschooling is horrible," and it's here's why homeschooling is a bad thing. And so then, of course, the people who are homeschooling, who are putting themselves out on a line and who are being attacked, quite naturally defended their homeschooling choice, and they talked about how great homeschooling was in every regard, and how it raised perfect children and who are smart and super geniuses who went to Harvard and had, the most amazing life. Now, somewhere between these polar representations is a more balanced, reasonable representation of what it's like to homeschool. And that's what I felt was at some points missing. I knew homeschooling was worked. I had grown up not going to school, and so has my wife, and I know literally hundreds of grown homeschoolers. So I knew it worked. I didn't need to debate that. But on the flip side, a lot of the people in my grown homeschooler community and in the homeschooling community in general wouldn't necessarily discuss some of the challenges they faced because they were always defending it against those naysayers. So the reason that I made Grown Without Schooling is I wanted to really talk about some of the issues that homeschoolers did face, but not not questioning homeschooling as a whole. Basically, it was a bunch of people who are already homeschooling coming together and saying, okay, now that we've proven that homeschooling works, let's just among you and me, let's talk about, you know, what really the experience was like and what was good, what was bad, and, you know, how what we could tell people who are homeschooling today to maybe make it a little bit better.
I mean, I've watched the video myself, and I found that the people seem to be really, no matter how they talk about it, whether it was a bit slightly negative or positive or anything, they all seem to be able to, they seem like strong people. They kind of like, you know, they'll do what they want to do anyway, and it just seemed like, it really, I find it inspiring.
Well, I think it's very interesting that you say that, Beatrice, because in some regards that illuminates your perspective on homeschooling. The documentary Grown Without Schooling was made in such a way that it allowed for it. I tried to allow for as many different interpretations as I could. I didn't make the documentary with a voiceover narration, so there was no voice of God, as they call it in the industry. And part of that was because I didn't want to foist my view of these grown homeschoolers on the audience. Now, some of that happens when you're editing together, anything, you know, the editor always does shape it, but I tried to allow it to be open enough. So, you know, what you needed to find and you were trying to just to look for, you would see, not necessarily to make it positive for everyone, but if you were concerned about, you know, your children growing up to be strong, self-determining individuals with a large degree of self-direction, you would have that question addressed. And for other people, it was quite the opposite. I know that for some people, they were disturbed when they saw the documentary, actually, because they felt like here were these people who were outside of the mainstream, and they were just sort of floundering. I had some people who thought that. And other people saw it as very inspirational, because a lot of the homeschoolers did seem to be self-directed, self-motivated, and following their interests. From my perspective, that really was one of the things that I got from the movie, and in making the movie, was the strong sense that grown homeschoolers are, in some regards, really post-materialist. And what I mean by that is just that they're not, the main concern is not just getting a job, not just, you know, having enough money to live. It really was about quality of life and about enjoying what they did and what they're enjoying their family life, and about, you know, living a happy life. Not just living a materially successful life. Another aspect that I picked up upon was that there was this idea that one of the grown homeschoolers said, and it was basically that growing up, they had questioned something so fundamental to school, something that everyone else took for granted. You know, you had to go to school, and you'd be a failure if you weren't, and don't be a fool, stay in school. And they had not gone to school. They had consciously rejected it, or questioned it, at least. And their life had turned out okay. So how this manifested as they grew up and got a little older was that they realized that everything could be questioned. Now, maybe 99% of the time they would come up with the same answers, but they were willing to question just about everything because they had seen something that was supposedly unquestionable that was questioned, and it had turned out that it was at least in their lives, that it was a good thing that they had questioned it. So that was definitely something that I found from the documentary. Another area, we devoted a whole section of the documentary to socialization. Now, when I've been present for a screening of the documentary, and, you know, you'll have a room full of homeschoolers, sometimes they'll see the socialization title appear for that section, and they'll groan, because, oh, geez, here comes the socialization question. And, of course, it's bogus because, you know, homeschoolers interact with other people all the time, people of all sorts of ages, they're not cooped up in their house, all the arguments that, you know, that are pretty much well known at this point and well refuted. However, we did devote a section to socialization because even though homeschooling doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, your kids are going to be poorly socialized, I did notice that there were distinct social challenges for some of the grown homeschoolers because they had, even though they were, you know, well socialized, they weren't necessarily used to the culture. And some of them, one of them, for instance, in college, really had a difficult time because it wasn't that he couldn't socialize, but it was, you know, plopping somebody who was like, it was like plopping someone from another country into that college environment. The way they spent their time, the way they interacted with people, the way they thought about things was just a little different. And so there was this adjustment period. And for others, there were social challenges because for a few of them, they were isolated. You know, they weren't necessarily living entirely in the house. They were out there in the world doing things, but some of them didn't have as much socialization as they would have liked, and I think it did show a little bit. I mean, they overcame it later in life, but there were challenges because of it, because their parents and you know, the homeschoolers themselves didn't necessarily prioritize it highly enough. You know, if you're in school, there's so many people around to socialize with. And when you're homeschooled, it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have social opportunities, but if you completely ignore that area and maybe you live in the woods, then, you know, you might have some trouble with, you know, finding friends and connecting with people. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily an attack against homeschooling as much as it was maybe a notice that to pay attention to something that sometimes gets overlooked in the popular discussion of homeschooling.
So who is the audience?
This documentary is most decisively for parents of homeschoolers and for teenage homeschoolers themselves. This is not homeschooling 101 for people who have never homeschooled. This is most definitely for people who are already homeschooling because it does talk about the warts as well as the beautiful sides of homeschooling. And I've had some people who have Mary Pride comes to mind, the editor of Practical Homeschooling magazine. She very consciously warned me, saying, you know, you do not want to show these people who've never homeschooled, because, you know, while it says it has a great message, it's not a beginner's message. It's meant for people who already have bought into it, you know, because if you show a lot of the challenges to people who are still concerned, you know, they don't they might not realize some of the rebuttals to their basic questions.
Don't let the traffic bring you down.
All together now.
You can make it if you try. You can make it if you try.
Time's still creeping
when you're sleeping.
You try. Time's still creeping,
especially when you're sleeping.
Wake up and go.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
You know, basically, we assume that the viewer comes to the documentary with a basic body of knowledge about homeschooling. So people who don't know anything about homeschooling can see it, but it's not intended for that audience. We show it at homeschooling conferences, and we also sell it to homeschooling families directly because it's not meant for the popular market. You know, it's not on PBS, and it won't be on PBS. That's the wrong audience for it. So most of the people who watch it are families who will go to the website of Grown Without Schooling and buy the documentary that way. But as I said, it is shown at homeschooling conferences as well. We've shown it in Chicago. We've shown it in Sacramento. We've shown it in India several times. People who are interested in homeschooling and who live abroad definitely like the documentary because they can tap into a community of grown homeschoolers that they just don't have in their own country. You know, it's also been shown in Boston and just in places all across the country, in Dallas. The reception is very, very mixed. People either love it or they hate it. And from my perspective, that's a good thing. It means that the documentary actually is saying something real. Because it really does challenge, in some regards, homeschooling, or at least this rosy, everything's perfect perspective of homeschooling. Some of the bad responses... I had one good close friend who was so disturbed by it. She said she couldn't even write the review. She wanted to help me, but she just couldn't write the review. It was disturbing to her. And I'm thinking about another well-known homeschooling author and speaker who just wrote me this scathing letter saying, oh, how dare you, you know, show homeschoolers in less than perfect life? How dare you choose people who don't have perfect teeth and who shows this to be, you know, less than perfect. You know, it's irresponsible and just really didn't like it at all. But then on the flip side, I mean, if that was all that people were saying, I'd be pretty sad. On the flip side, and I would say more than half of the people just absolutely love it. Let me just read you a couple real quick comments. Linda Dobson, who's the author of The Homeschooling Book of Answers, and she's a popular homeschooling speaker, she said, 3 thumbs up. Grown Without Schooling presents a profound homeschooling narrative. Grace Llewellyn, who runs the popular Not Back to School camp and wrote the Teenage Liberation Handbook, she said, entertaining, vulnerable, unpretentious, highly recommended. I was blown away. Parents, teachers, teenagers, and anyone wondering how homeschooled children turn out as adults should watch this tape. That's what Pat Feringa said, the former publisher of Growing Without Schooling magazine. All homeschoolers should see this video. That was Kathy Cohen, who wrote, among other things, Homeschooling the Teenage Years. So, you know, we've gotten a bunch of wonderful responses. We have had it reviewed in Home Education Magazine and publications like Practical Homeschooling Magazine. It does have a very strong message, and depending on your perspective, you might pick up on the negative sides of the lives of these homeschoolers or the positive side.
So are you happy with the movie?
I am. I'm very, very pleased with the movie. I think it's some of my finest work, actually, even though it's a few years old at this point. Although being a perfectionist, it's not perfect in every regard, I'll admit. One of the things that I wish I could do differently if I were to do it again was I wish I had more experience because it was my first documentary. My father taught television production for most of my life, and so I grew up around moving pictures, but it was my first, you know, feature-length film. As a result, you know, some of my scenes, I would have liked to have edited them a little more crisply, and I would have liked to have, you know, there were a couple of little technical details that I every time I see it, I wince at. But on the other hand, you know, it is eminently watchable, and the message, I'm still in love with its message, but, you know, I wish... You know, well, Wendy Priesnitz, who's the editor of Life Learning Magazine, she said that basically, she said, well, you know, it's great stuff. It's a strong message. However, you know, it seems like it's more of an NPR piece, you know, like it was more of a radio program piece or maybe a print, something for print. Mm-hmm. And so I think it did show through a little bit that this was my first documentary. So, you know, what I did, of course, was then I pitched her a column for her magazine, Life Learning, and now I write a column called Grown Without Schooling, which basically is a print version of my documentary. In terms of challenges, the biggest challenge was the scope of the production. Anybody who's made a feature-length film or documentary or something like that knows that it's just a tremendously large project. I call it my first book because I had friends who had written two or three books by the time I had finished this. I mean, it costed tens of thousands of dollars. You know, just collecting the money for that was a challenge. And I did collect it mostly from my own bank account because I wasn't sure if it would amount to anything or, you know, being my first documentary. It was shot all across the country. I wanted to represent grown homeschoolers from different parts of the U.S. So we did shoot in places as distant as Columbia, Missouri to St. Albans, Vermont. And so to put together a shoot schedule, to put in more than a month of shoot schedule, you know, like I'm telling you, hour by hour breakdown. We're going to be here, we're going to shoot this, then we're going to go there. And to do that was very challenging. And I had never done something like that before. So as I was doing it, I was wondering, you know, geez, am I going to fall flat on my face? Or is this going to turn out like I think it is? And it did turn out well, but it was quite a challenge. And then in the editing process, we made the video cinema verite style. And what that means is that we didn't storyboard the documentary. We didn't write a scene-by-scene breakdown. What we basically did was we went to visit these grown homeschoolers, and we started recording them, and we waited for it to unfold naturally. I didn't want it to be my preconceived notions of their life. I wanted to actually see what it was like. So we just turned on the cameras and let it go. But that then meant that we had to shoot up much more, and it meant that at the end of the production, I had more than 50 hours of footage to edit down. And that's a lot of footage for, you know, for a documentary that only ended up at 107 minutes. And telling the story without a central narrative was a struggle for me also. I was finishing college when I made it. Some people have asked me if it was a college production, this documentary, and it most decidedly wasn't. I had gone to college, and then I left college because I thought, well, college is really just a continuation of the school system. And while I was out not being in college, and one of the things I wanted to do was to learn how to make documentaries, and I wanted to try my hand at it. So this was made after I left college, but then after I had shot the footage and started editing it, I decided to go back to college. And that's a whole different interview. I did finish editing the documentary while I was a full-time college student. So I'd go to class and I'd do all my studies, and then at about 9 or 10 p.m. I would go to the editing table and edit the documentary together. I would be up till like 2-3 in the morning, and you know that meant I didn't get enough sleep because I had to go to classes the next morning, and it was very, very demanding in that regard. I was very happy when it was finally done. I sat down and just sat there for a good 10 minutes, not believing that I was done with this project that it's really taken 2 years to make. I wish that I had the technology that people have nowadays. When I was editing the documentary Grown Without Schooling, and this was only a few years ago, it wasn't that long ago, but the equipment was nowhere near as advanced as it is today. Today, everybody who has a Macintosh has video editing software right on their computer. When I was doing it, we had to buy a special computer with a special RAID hard drive, which is two hard drives put together that they think they're one, and I had to buy this really expensive setup and capture card, and also as a result of the technology not quite being there, it actually informed the way that I made the documentary because I couldn't functionally have more than 10 minutes of video without stopping at some point because my computer wouldn't handle more than that. I had to take 10 minutes, dump it to tape, take 10 more minutes, dump it to tape, and that really did, you know, influence the way, subtly, but it did influence the way we put together the documentary and just the voodoo that we went through to make it work. It was a lot better than what it used to be. Because my father taught video production, so I remember growing up with linear editors. I remember the great tape to tape. You know, you'd stick your beta tapes in there, and you would splice these things together in a very time consuming, one frame at a time fashion. And so, compared to that, this computer based editing was wonderful, and I really appreciated it. Looking now, just a few years later, it's just gotten even better. And
so, are you going to continue making documentaries?
I am a magazine journalist by trade. That's where I feel most comfortable. That's where I excel. That's where I have the most training and the most understanding. However, growing up at schooling was such a success in my mind, and it was, as I said, one of my greatest works. So I've toyed with the idea of making a second documentary. I've toyed with a Grown Without Schooling 2, if you will, because in the documentary that Grown Without Schooling, the one that's out there right now, we do follow 10 grown homeschoolers, and only one of them has children who are school age. And in the documentary, he's going through the struggle of should he homeschool his children or should he not, because his wife isn't quite so sure if mm-hmm. homeschooling is a good idea. She didn't grow up homeschooling. So there's really only one family in this documentary that shows second-generation homeschoolers. And so a thought I had was maybe making another Grown Without Schooling documentary that covered grown homeschoolers raising children, basically homeschooling their kids. And it would be interesting to see how they do things differently. That's just now something we can do. You know, 5 years ago, there really weren't that many grown homeschoolers who had kids and were homeschooling their kids, although now we're starting to see a lot of them. And we're even starting to see grown homeschoolers who married each other and now are having kids. And that, to me, is really interesting. In a couple of years, I will be in that group too, actually. So I've been thinking about making a Grown Without Schooling too, and there definitely has been some requests for something like that. For anybody who's interested in seeing the documentary, they can visit the website for Grown Without Schooling. It's very simply grownwithoutschooling.com, and on the site they can watch a trailer of the documentary. They can also read some of the reviews. They can order it right online. And they can even get in contact with me or the other people in the documentary if they want to ask us questions about it.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.